Blog Talk Radio.
You've heard that knowledge is power? How is knowledge power?
I'm sure by now, most of you have heard the saying, knowledge is power. I'd love to see a show of hands for those of you who believe this to be true. If you look around the room, you could see quite a few of us believe that knowledge is in fact power. I too, like you, believed this saying for most of my life. After some deep contemplation on this concept, I've come to the conclusion that we've all bought into a lie. It's true. Knowledge is not power.
Prominent families often forget a simple truth. I've found.
And which truth is that?
Knowledge is power.
Seize him. Cut his throat. Stop. Oh, wait. I've changed my mind. Let him go. Step back 3 paces. Turn around. Close your eyes. Power. Yes, power.
Peace, family. Grand Rising, Grand Day, Black Power, Hotep, Assalamu Alaikum, any greeting that you deem necessary. Thank you all for tuning in again to the Black Liberation Movement Blog Talk Podcast. This Wednesday night, we have a very interesting topic for those of you who chose to tune in. This Wednesday night, we choose to bring something to the table that have been perplexing the Black community now for some time. We may have been under the influence of a misconception. Y'all know what a DUI is. Called driving under the influence of an intoxicant. Well, today, the Black Liberation Movement and those associated and affiliated would like to bring this very robust and critical conversation to the Black community. Tonight will be the mere imparting of information is not education. Is knowledge alone power? Let's state it again. For those who didn't catch it, the topic for tonight, the mere imparting of information is not education. Is knowledge alone power? Contemplate on that question as I solicit our ancestors to be with us tonight in this mighty and robust conversation. Oh, ancestors, Black of Death Thousand Midnight, to you who we pay our respect and our honor. We solicit you tonight, great ancestors, to be with us tonight. Join in to our discussion tonight. Inspire us as we attempt to convey a powerful message to our people. Tune in, because we understand that every action is preceded by thought. And if we begin to absorb the proper information, then we should be inspired to perform a proper action. Thank you, Almighty Ancestors. Your presence is already felt. you, Almighty Ancestors, for allowing us this platform that we stand on your shoulders tonight and we deliver boldly, unapologetically, with no compromise in our delivery. Thank you, Almighty Ancestors, for the strength. Thank you, Almighty Ancestors, for the will. Ashe, Sheo. Thank you all for tuning in again. This is Brother Patrick Lumumba, Chief Organizer, Facilitator, Commander of the Black Liberation Movement. Black first. That's what we want to be. We want to be black first. We promote a black initiative. We understand and know it is imperative today that we push black first. So every one of our topics that you all began to tune in, Brother Maurice told me that our ratings are up. That was inspiring to know that people are tuning in to this Blog Talk podcast and that we are being heard. Because how can they hear unless they have a teacher? And how can they have a teacher unless their teacher is sent? We feel just by the precipitation and the necessitation of our circumstances that we must appear to have the boldness and the conviction and the commitment to push forth with these mighty conversations, but not only that, push forth with these mighty actions. So let's visit our topic tonight, because we want to point out two powerful ancestors tonight, two very powerful ancestors tonight that we're going to focus our attention on. Those ancestors are Carter G. Woodson and Dr. Amos Wilson. Dr. Carter G. Woodson, who is the author of the famous and also powerful writing of the book we know as The Miseducation of the Negro. So many powerful lessons I learned from Dr. Woodson. Dr. Woodson is also the father of black history. He created black history, what was to be Black History Week, that went on to be Black History Month as we know it today. But one of the most powerful things that Dr. Woodson presented to us that we have a short memory of, he told us that the mere imparting of information is not education. And again, Dr. Woodson told us that the mere imparting of information is not education. Education is not just the mere imparting of information. Knowledge in and of itself, is it power? I hope some of y'all heard that introduction, because it was almost like a magician's magic trick that had been perpetrated on people for so long, and they have digested it. Let's be specific. We, in and of itself, is power. Can the Black Liberation Movement prove this tonight? Well, we mightily prepared. We are mightily prepared to back this up with factual information and data, but that back it up with action. Let's prove our point. 10 years ago, something phenomenal happened in the black community with the advent of social media. Disseminate over social media very profound information. Think about what I'm saying. Approximately 10 years ago, give or take, with the advent of social media, began to disseminate information across social media that the majority of black people did not have access to prior, meaning that we didn't have institutions that taught us information. We had no access to this type of information prior to social media and the inundation, the flooding of this information. We began to call this era of 10 years ago up until recent times the conscious awakening, information awakening. We started using terms like wake up. I seen people conveying messages over social media that they have learned more over social media in 1 year concerning us, our history, pertinent information that we should know as a people, than they have learned too since the white supremacy. I myself took part in the absorbance of this information, like many of you who are listening did as well. But the point we drive into, after 10 years of absorbing knowledge and information and what we call education, tangible, progressive reality, tangible thing that we can put our hands on, we can point at it. With all the information that we gather, that we absorb, and we became what we call conscious, what we call conscious, what could we tangibly point to that we have gained so much knowledge? Is knowledge alone power? That's the question tonight. Let me give this call-in number because we're looking for a conversation tonight. The call-in number is 563-999-3682. That's 563-999-3682. If you want to enter this conversation at any time, because we welcome your conversation and commentary. Now, where are we? When I determined that we would do this topic tonight, I began to search for content, interesting questions that can be proposed, because I know that the shock value of the question would deal with most at their core. The cognitive dissonance of knowledge is power, Brother Lumumba. I don't understand how you ain't equating that knowledge is power. Well, just being mature and being realistic about the reality that we living in, seeing those of us who claim to have knowledge struggle to really get a grip that's strong enough to pull our people out of the gravitational pull of white supremacy. Say that knowledge in and of itself is not power of the movement. Well, experience make me understand that those of us who claim to have knowledge have not ascertained enough escape velocity with the knowledge we have to actually pull our people from the gravitational pull and the magnificent grip of white supremacy. How is that? How is that? So we hope to make you understand tonight that knowledge in and of itself is not power. We have knowledge. I'm talking about black people. We have knowledge. We have information. So why are we on the bottom of the social ladder in a country that we have been diametrically opposed in since the conception of this thing we call America? Why are we still at the bottom as a people? See, now watch your mind start going into the rugged individualist capacity. Because I said, why are we, some of us with a few degrees, seem to think that we have escaped the black reality? But I think it was Marcus Garvey who said that there is no black man or woman that's above the condition of his people, his or her people. There is no black man or woman that's above the condition of his or her people. So don't individually answer this question tonight. We don't want to embarrass you calling in talking about your individual accolades. If you have not applied your knowledge to alleviating the pain of our people, don't call in tonight. You see, that's rugged individualism. Prove to you that even that, what you're talking about, that education, that degree that you got hanging on the wall, did nothing more than give you a better permission slip to operate within white supremacy. That's about it. It gave you a better permission slip to operate within the confines and constructs of white supremacy. That's what your education, your so-called education, did for you. If you got a job, it means somebody gave it to you. Okay. So, I use a word that I want to kind of elaborate on. The word that I used was commiserate. I used the word commiserate. What does that word mean? I said that the knowledge that we have is not commiserate to our actions. What I'm basically saying is that we have way too much knowledge not to have an equivalent amount of activity. We have way too much information not to have a commiserate amount of action. Commiserate basically means corresponding in size or degree, being in proportion. Commiserate means corresponding in size or degree, portion to. You ever seen somebody, you said, they body out of proportion. They head too big for their body. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Things are not balanced. So what I'm trying to attempt to prove tonight is that the knowledge that we have does not equate to power. We got a whole bunch of knowledge, but no power. How does that work if knowledge is power? If knowledge is power, how do we have so much knowledge but no power at the bottom of every social measurement in this country? Dr. Fuller and John and Sister Dr. Francis Press Wilson said that we have 9 areas of activity, battle, and concern. Now, I'm not going to go through the naming of the all nine, but we're at the bottom of every one of them. But we have knowledge. Is knowledge alone power? Is the realm that we have entered into. I've been on this journey for 25 years now. If anybody else been on this journey and is getting tired, call in tonight. So we can diagnose this problem and figure out why we getting tired. Hell, if I was in an ocean and treading water, that means I'm in the water, but I ain't really going nowhere. Eventually, I will get tired. Treading water in this battle. Call in tonight. See, a lot of us been spinning our wheels trying to get people to understand what we teach it. See, we want people to understand what we teach it. Y'all don't understand. No. Thing is, and I say this all the time to the people who don't know. I'm talking about the people who claim to know. See, people don't have to listen to you, but they do have to see you. So when the people that know begin to do something, then people have to respect what it is that you do. That's why the Black Liberation Movement is a practical application organization. We take knowledge and apply it so that we can get the derivative of result that knowledge is supposed to give you. So what we have entered as a people is an era of knowledge pontification. I don't want to be using all these big words, but I do want to make a point. We have entered a realm of knowledge pontification. And what I mean by pontification is that we have brothers and sisters that have reached levels of knowledge that they feel that they could teach our people basically things that already been taught that they remix over and over again as though they created it, but we never get nothing tangible from the teacher. So pontification had become the call of the day. That's why we had the whole debate era where we had brothers and sisters debating each other over social media. And began to form fan clubs around people who were debating these knowledge pontificators who ain't did a damn thing for the Black community. You can point them out. We can call them out. You got people like Young Pharaoh. That's one. I don't mean to hurt y'all's feelings. I know y'all think he look cute guy with a little squeaky girl voice. You got people like Sir City, the RBG leader. I don't know what they do. They meet down in Houston, Texas every year and have parties, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know what else they do. And I'm not being critical of Black organizations. I want to call them to accountability. And you perfectly welcome to call the Black Liberation Movement to accountability if you can do that. And if we find ourselves falling short, then we have the responsibility to pick it up. So we got people like all these brothers at that time that was doing all of the knowledge masturbation and putting all the high-level science knowledge out there. But what was your result? Created a sanctuary for Black people. See? Ain't nobody call you on that. Because we are under the impression that knowledge is power. Pontification basically means to express one's opinion in a way considered pompous and dogmatic, to be redundant over and over with your chest out, to just pontificate and don't have to prove anything. So we have entered Brother Maurice and Sister Crystal and Sister Angela and those part of the Black Liberation Movement. I'm telling us tonight that we're in an era of knowledge pontification, and we have entered a tailspin in that pontification, meaning that we out of control. You know, when a car begins to tailspin, then that car is out of control. We got to get it back in line so that we can get where we're going. We'd have entered a knowledge pontificating tailspin. College G. Wilson said that the mere imparting of information is not education. Knowledge in and of itself is not power. So what is power? What is power? I heard the gentleman that was talking before we started, and Brother Maurice and Sister Anza always do a good job with identifying and being on point with the introduction as it pertains to the conversation. At the end of it, suggest knowledge was not power. The man answered the question. He said, what is power? He said that power is power. That's the best answer I can possibly give. Power is power. Now, we ain't saying knowledge is irrelevant. Most definitely not. But what we saying is that you can't stop right there. I've been in all kinds of debates with brothers. We do need to read. We need to read a lot. But what happens after we read? Is there any action commensurate or proportional to what we read? I remember being in high school, and I was first introduced to the autobiography of Malcolm X. And I can remember my hands beginning to sweat because I was eager to be Malcolm. I wanted to take on the responsibility of Black manhood, podium like Malcolm did, and deliver eloquent speeches that was inspiring others to do something to alleviate the pain that had fell across the breast of our people. You cannot make me believe that Malcolm would not have been on the front line of a physical war. You could that he would not. Yeah, Malcolm gave great speeches. But Malcolm was a warrior. Malcolm was preparing a people for the dynamics that we would face. The knowledge that Malcolm was given was to be applied. And we don't have one institution, primary basis, not one institution to note. If we got one, y'all call me. Y'all call us. Let's have a discussion tonight. If we have one, we need to know about it. But we do have one. It's in Coldwater, Mississippi. It's in Coldwater, Mississippi. It's called the Ashe Academy. If we have any other, y'all call us in so that we can be in conjunction in a networking effort. Build a tangible networking institutionalized process of knowledge application. Let's do that tonight. We need some callers. Let's call in. If anybody got anything that they want to say concerning what we're talking about tonight, call in tonight. We want to have a mature conversation. Even if you disagree, call in. Call in of saying knowledge is power. And that's where we stop at. And that's where our growth stop at. We can make examples of this. the white man that control your everyday navigation. Yeah, I said control your everyday navigation. They don't believe that knowledge in and of itself is power. You see? What the white man has exemplified is that knowledge applied is power. Let me show you an example. Albert Einstein, which we have come to know based on the white man and his system of educating or training you, having us to believe that Albert Einstein is basically like the foremost scientist that ever lived. Those of us who understand history of African culture know that this is not true. But let's play the white man narrative and prove our point. Came up with a theory that he called the theory of relativity. E equals mc squared. That's mass times the speed of light. Energy equals mass times the speed of light. The white man didn't stop at the theory, applied it, and came up with what you call an atomic bomb. An atomic bomb. They didn't just say, oh, this looks like it'll work. No. They applied it to see what they had. So you had the bombing Hiroshima and Nagasaki. If I'm not telling this right, then somebody call in and correct me. I'm not beyond reproach. But I think I'm telling it right. They bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Where did they get the knowledge of an atomic bomb? Did these barbaric subhuman species come up with this type of intelligence in and of their own creativity and just say, oh, this is a nice theory. I think we'll just teach it to everybody in the world, or did they apply it and keep it for themselves and knowledge? They bomb here, see you, knock inside it. And Einstein was quoted to say that that wasn't the intent of his theory, of his theoretical discovery. That wasn't the intention. But did the white man give a damn what your intention was? The white man take your knowledge and creativity all the time and apply it, and it becomes what? Power. So the brother or the man, whoever was before the show, said that power is power. That's powerful. Power is power. So we go into the white man's school every day, being inundated and, as we say, educated with his information, with his narrative. But is this information education, or is this training? Let's go back to Carl G. Woodson, who basically said that the mere imparting of this information is not education. To the white man's school to be trained, because the white man have taken knowledge and applied it and created a world that you subjected to. We do have a caller. Let's hear from our caller. Caller 4983. Caller 4983.
Please. Mila.
Hey, Mila. Queen Mila.
Hey.
How you doing, dear?
I am doing well, very well. So glad this is a topic tonight. And I was actually having a conversation about this very topic, but in regard to being mothers, in regard to decisions, in regard to what we give our children in every way. We do learn so many things. You know, we learn some things we definitely have to unlearn, of course. We learn, you know, how to cook certain things, hopefully from my mother, the other people, sometimes just through life. You know, but as we grow, that's supposed to improve. We're supposed to learn, right? Because you're at that time, you're taking in all that knowledge and you're applying it. You're supposedly, as a woman, you're applying all this knowledge that you're taking in to make yourself better, even before, you know, before having children, you know, to make your health better, to make your bones, all these things. And then even after, you have to continue to, you know, gain knowledge or, you know, be in a situation of, you know, being able to receive knowledge and information from others. That's good for you. You need to be able to receive that and synthesize that, right? Because you have to be able to then give that knowledge, impart it to your children, but teach them from a perspective of application. And you kind of just really, when you really just touched on that, what I was thinking is that, you know, you can have, and even in regards to power, you can have knowledge of so many things. Right, you can learn about so many things. You can fill your head with so much every day, and it doesn't matter if you're a Christian, doesn't matter if you're a Buddhist, whatever it is you believe, or hopefully what you know, but whatever that is, none of it really matters if you're just obtaining this knowledge. Maybe you're sharing it, but you have no real experience from it. There's no real grit behind it, so there's no power to it. You know, nothing has been, you know, done or happened or conceived in your life that, you know, lets you know that this is real, you know. So what I'm saying or what I'm trying to get to in all of that is, again, if you can't apply what you learn, it's useless. And, you know, knowledge is not something that, like, does the work for us. We still have to do the work. That's you. That's blood, sweat, and tears. That's grit. You know, you still have to be the person to do the work. And if you don't do the work to receive that knowledge, if you don't do the work, especially as a woman, as a mother in general, as a man too, but especially as a woman, for so many reasons, if you don't do the work to receive that knowledge, to apply it, to put yourself in positions where you need to apply it, where you have to apply it, you know, where you can document your experiences in so many ways. So you have to do all of those things. You have to understand that it's you, you know, who's doing the work. But you know, it's just really something to think about when that happens so much. We are so quick to share certain things, but if someone actually sat you down or called you out and said, "Hey, explain this to me," we can't do it because it's just something that looks good. It's just something that sounds good. It's not feeding anybody. It's not even feeding you. That's why you're intuition blanks. You're giving people blanks. They look good, but they ain't doing no work either way. So just big application. I mean, knowledge is great. Knowledge is good, you know, in any setting, professional life, you know, common sense, it's good. Whatever, it's good, but it's not good if you don't know how to give it or how to receive it, but most importantly, how to apply it. And that's just real because you have to think it can be used for the good or the bad. Like you said, the white man has created a world based on the application of knowledge. And it's true. And it's worked. It's worked. Still working. You know, no matter what, it's still working. So if we would take that own liberty for ourselves and say, okay, I need to really start applying these things. I need to start however small I can in one way. If it's one way at a time, it doesn't have to be everything overnight. You know, or whatever it may be, do something that's better, that's better in yourself, better in your children, better in your people, and do it in a way where you're teaching them to know what to look for and what not to look for so that people don't continue to be able to misuse their power on you and you learn to own your own, you know?
Right.
Great topic.
Great. Well, Sister Mila, since we have you on, let's take full opportunity of this situation. Now, if people are listening and not familiar with Sister Miller, she's on social media as Sister Miller Nay is a social media name. Friend her because let's prove our point. while you're on, Sister Mila, because I always appreciate you calling and tuning in and helping us share this podcast and this broadcast. Now, Sister Mila is saying that knowledge is power. Let's use her for an example. Knowledge, applied knowledge is power. Knowledge in and of itself is not power. Knowledge applied is power. Now, I watch your platform, Sister Mila, and you have an impressive platform where you show the art of eating healthy and working out. That's one. Another thing you advocate is the natural hair look and the natural the locking of the natural hair look. Now, one thing that I witnessed, was that we had a conversation one day based on a post that I had made concerning the artificial incentives that our women have basically digested as the beauty standards now. And that's something that seemed to be dear to your heart in expressing to our women that, you know, the natural beauty needs to be the standard of our women. And you exemplified it. You exemplified it. And you came back, and based on the post that I made, you made a video. And I didn't see one person after you made a visual which people can see, not just something that people can read. See, people can read what I say, and they can shoot it. But once you made a physical video where you showed your face and your hair and spoke boldly to what it was that you know and that you applied, nobody refuted you.
Absolutely.
Nobody. Nobody refuted you. All I seen from that point forward was endearment. That's all I saw. And even if people had a notion to refute you, they knew better because they weren't going to do it because the visual was there. The applied knowledge was right there. And the standard of beauty was there. Yeah. So we appreciate you, Sister Miller. And you are an example. And I think I shared it with you that you are an example of what we need to be ascertaining too. So we have to show these visual examples. And that's what we try and do in every aspect of what it is that we do with the Black Liberation Movement. We appreciate you, Sister Miller.
And I appreciate you all. Absolutely.
Thank you, dear. Thank you for calling me. Thank you.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, Sister Miller Nay, we always appreciate her calling in. She always has great commentary. And I thank her for reinforcing and reiterating the point that knowledge in and of itself is not power. Okay, so let's move on. Brother Maurice, we have any other callers, let me know. If knowledge in and of itself is not power, but knowledge applied is power, what is power? I'm not going to go to Webster for this definition. I'm going to go to our ancestors. Power is the ability to manipulate reality. Do your knowledge give you the power to manipulate reality? Let me make an example. Are you a mechanic because you went to school to study to be a mechanic? Or do you become a mechanic when you actually fix somebody's car? See? Is knowledge power or is knowledge applied power? Because when you fix somebody's car, you have manipulated. If you know how to fix somebody's car, then their car is still unfixed. Simple as that. Oh, I know how to fix your car. Okay, well, it needs to be fixed. So what got to happen? You got to apply the knowledge that you claim to have. So you're not a mechanic until the people say you are a mechanic. That's why we got all these black doctors around here and we still sick. I don't mean physical doctors. I mean all type of doctors. And we sick in all areas. But we got so many degrees think I was reading a statistic that suggested that the black woman is the most educated gender in America. What? What, Lumumba? The black woman is the most educated gender in America, meaning that she has obtained more education in the schools and institutions of America than any other gender. I mean, race or gender. Or category, whatever you want to say. So shouldn't that be a commensurate, remember the word we learned, commensurate, corresponding in size and proportion, meaning it should be equal. If she is the most educated in America, why isn't it reflected in the reality? So is she actually obtaining education, or is she being trained? Think about it. I need Sister Crooks or somebody to call in and tell me what John Henry Clark said concerning education. I can't pinpoint it right now. In American society. But see, that's the misconception. We're using the term educated. But that's the wrong term. We should be using the most trained. The black woman pushes white supremacy in the black community. I think I heard a great brother of mine say that the black community is a matriarchy. Now, that would be fine if it was based on African principles and culture. But if the black woman, if the black community is a matriarchy and the black woman is essentially a white supremacist, then what do we have? Don't nobody get offended out there. If it's not you, talking about our condition. Lumumba ain't sitting here flawless. But I'm working real hard. I'm working real hard to exemplify black manhood. And Brother Maurice, we're going to have to put it together. The Black Male Accountability Summit, organize or die. We have that. The Black Male Accountability Summit, organize or die. Because that's exactly where we at right now. And somebody has to be bold enough and have the manhood to make the announcement and to follow through and be committed to bringing our people out of this. We got a caller. Caller 4751. Go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Of course I can. How you doing, Sister Crystal? Yes,
I'm good.
How you doing, Sister Crystal?
I'm good.
Yes, good to hear from you.
I'm great. How you doing?
Mm-hmm. I'm well.
Yeah, I was good. Great show, great topic, great conversation between you and Sister Camilla. There's so many John Henry Clark quotes. Which one were you on the talk about?
But he said something about education that could be very relevant to this conversation, and I just couldn't pinpoint it. That he was pointing out something pertaining to what we're saying concerning education. It may come to me before it's over with, but I thought maybe you may.
Well,
know
he did
it.
Say.
No.
He did say that. Powerful people cannot afford to educate the people that they oppress, because once you are truly educated, you will not ask for power, you will take it.
There it is. That's what I'm talking about. You just went a little further than I was thinking about, but all of it is relevant. It said powerful people cannot afford to educate you. So what the hell is happening? What's happening? What's happening? If the people that's in power over us can't afford to educate us, then what are they doing? They ain't educating you. They training you.
Okay.
They training you. Because if they were educating you, you would have your own power. You would create your own power. You're not being educated. You're being trained by your societal superior. Being trained, and you're being compensated with a salary. That's the payoff. That's the trade-off. So you can be quiet. You're not agitated.
I remember.
Enough. Yeah. You said you remember?
I was just going to say, you know, I've been working in the library field for about 25 years. And at first I didn't have what they would call a quote professional degree. I didn't have my master's. So I went back to school. Mm-hmm. But, you know, mind you, I had been working in the library for about 10 years at this time. And so the whole process was a training, because the reason why I know I excelled was because I had practical experience to deal with their theory. So just remembering, if you work in your field and then go back and further your education in that field, you'll have the practical to put with the theory. So you're right, it is a training process, telling you what you should do in certain situations, and you have to look at your reality, figure out what to do in those situations. So I'm thankful that, you know, I had my awakening so that I can apply my special skill set to the betterment and liberation of our people, which a lot of us don't even have that mindset. What John Henry Clark said, take what you do best and do it for your people. So, it's just a testament to exactly what you're saying, that it is an indoctrination and training process that takes place when we attend these institutions
for
higher learning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I thank you, Sister Crystal, for being there to bring this information up, because it is very important that we're able to bring these ancestors back to relevance. And that's why it's so important that we continue with the Ashe Academy, surround the teachings of our ancestors, where they become the narrative in these things that they have already experienced. We begin to build from them, as opposed to being constantly trained by our society superior, basically to continue to build their reality. At some point, we have to create a generation that's committed to building a sanctuary. Trade-off is not working. The trade-off. What do you mean, Lamoon, by the trade-off? I'm talking about the training and the compensation of pay that we receive to basically swallow our manhood. Basically swallow our manhood. Put it on the back burner and continue to be pimped by this society, where we trade off our pride, trade off our culture, trade off our humanity. Yeah, we'd rather stay there. Thank you, Sister Crystal. I'm sure you're going to hang on. But we thank you for being there and serving. Thank you, the Black Liberation Movement, in the capacity that you serve the Black Liberation Movement and our people, because we are an organization for the betterment of our people. So thank you, Sister Crystal. But
thank you.
Yeah, we comfortable. You're welcome, dear. We are comfortable with the knowledge of power. Why are we comfortable with that, Brother Maurice? See, I keep telling them, we got knowledge and information. But what we don't have is will, termination. We don't have that. We don't have that. Comfortable. We don't want to hear brothers like Maurice Muhammad. We don't want to hear brothers that call us to accountability, call us to responsibility. We don't want to hear sisters that call us to responsibility. I remember being on stage in a show with with Sister Shahrazad Ali. And contemporary black so-called conscious people, but they nothing more than feminists. They nothing more than feminists. They don't like Shahrazad Ali because of her fundamentalism. Her fundamentalism. Black women need to know how to cook. Y'all don't want to do that. What Sister Miller was talking about. You don't want to do that. So how conscious are you really? You conveniently conscious. You know? And so we'd rather take the trade-off. We'd rather say that knowledge is power and information. We in the information age, but you can't apply none of this to change your reality. Not only change your reality, but shift your paradigm. What is a paradigm, Lumumba? A paradigm is the normalcy of your era. The normalcy of your era. What do you mean by that? That means whatever is normal, that's what it is. Black people being subjugated in society, that's normal. So if you shift that paradigm, you're changing the societal normal. And what I'm telling us is that we very comfortable in our societal normal. Talking about shifting the paradigm, what in the hell do you think we talking about? See, you Christian, that in Revelation, the bottom rail going to rise to the top. How the hell that going to happen? See, I don't even leave you alone with your Christian allegory. Do you think that some anthropomorphic being in the sky going to shift shit? Well, what is anthropomorphic? That's essentially the same thing as the Care Bears or the Smurfs, or cartoon characters on TV. That's anthropomorphic. That's giving human qualities to something that ain't fucking human. Excuse my language. That's what we want to do. Bottom rail going to rise to the top. Well, how it going to happen? See, the anthropomorphic God in the sky going to do it, right? That's what I'm talking about. Lumumba know what he's talking about. See, the bottom rail is what and who has to shift the bottom rail. Not some anthropomorphic being outside of us. That's why when we say we are our own saviors, yeah, that's the knowledge part of it. So what's the God part of it? Is when you do it. And when you pronounce to the world that you have humanity, or what our ancestors, or what we employ with our ancestors, we have God consciousness. Not, I got God. Shit, I don't know that. We need to raise a generation that's born knowing they God. How about that? We need to raise a generation that's uncompromised. Apologetic. See, we apologetic. We love white folks. We love their system. We don't really want to shake no waters. We don't really want to change nothing. That's why you want to stay with knowledge is power. Even my colleague, they want to stay with that. They feel comfortable with that. Because at the end of the day, you don't have to do nothing but wear these white folk brands and shit on your chest while you talking knowledge. Prada and Tommy Hilfiger on your fucking chest. Knowledge is power. No, it ain't. I was telling some of the members of the BYLC while we were working in the field. I said, if I locked you in a cell for 10 years and I threw you 1,000 books in the cell with you and you read them books in 1 year, you read all the books. I said, what would you have? So you'll have a lot of knowledge, but you got 9 more years. You got a lot of knowledge, though. You got 9 more years. You want some more books? I'll give you some more books. You want some more books? You ever see
the movies with the brothers in jail, and they just reading all the books, and I'm going to go get me some more books out of the library. You still in jail. You're still in jail. 10 years, you get out of jail, and you got all this knowledge, and you can't function. You still can't function. You come out, and you're teaching all the brothers on the street, but you're still in the same socioeconomic condition. Oh, brother so-and-so, he done changed. He got a lot of knowledge. That's good. But at the end of the day, what is the derivative result? So is knowledge power in and of itself? I'm not discounting knowledge. I've been accused of that. You discount reading. You discount knowledge. No, I'm not. I'm discounting us after we ascertain. That's what I'm doing. What are we going to do with the knowledge? Afraid of you reading no goddamn book? They ain't afraid of you reading 1,000 goddamn books. They ain't afraid of you praying either. They ain't afraid of that. They ain't afraid of you going to church, none of that shit. They ain't afraid of none of that. You know what they're afraid of? They're afraid one day black people going to really wake up. Malcolm said, told white folk, y'all ought to pray to whatever God you deem necessary. That black folk don't wake up in the morning and do what they supposed to do. He didn't say read. And I'm not discounting read. He said, you white people, you better pray to whatever God that you deem necessary. See, he just said God, whatever, because he understands the concept of God and what it is. God is force and power. So is the white man powerful enough to create a God for you, prescribe a God to you, prescribe you a God? He told them, well, you better pray to whatever God you deem necessary that we don't get up in the morning and do what we supposed to do. See, that's why we love Malcolm dead. See, we love Malcolm dead too. We love him dead too. Because it's easier to digest a man dead than when he's here putting pressure on you to do something that you need to do. Do we have any callers?
Brother Patrick, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
I just want to add a little bit to that, what you're saying, because I've been, you know, I study the ancestors just so we can have some direction in what it is that we need to be teaching and doing with our stage, with the movement, with Oasis. And one of my favorite ancestors and scholars is Prodigy Woodson. And, you know, I think that we really need to pay attention to these people, to our ancestors, because a lot of people think of him as just the father of black history, but he was so much more than that. He was an educator. He was a black educator, and he was adamant about teaching us, our people, from a black perspective, and our ancestors. When we think about the ones that were enslaved, what their hold is new. That if our ancestors could just read and write, what they would do with that. They knew that our ancestors would do something with knowledge. So that's why they weren't allowed to become literate, because y'all know my definition of literacy is the ability to read, write, and think critically. So our ancestors, if they had the knowledge that we had, come on, we got the knowledge, but we don't have that will, that courage, and that strength that our ancestors had. So, you know, now they don't care what we know, what we read. I mean, information is out there. Everything is available and accessible. Why? Because they done took that whole will and determination out of us by wanting us to think that we got to be like them.
Wait a minute. You're exactly right.
But my spirit convicted me to go back into something that you just said just to prove our point tonight. Because I want somebody to call in and disprove it. I'm not being argumentative about it or nothing. If you can disprove what we're saying, call in. But let me go back to something that Sister Crystal just talked about. She said that white people wanted to keep the book and the information and the knowledge away from us at the beginning of this relationship that we have with them. At the beginning of this relationship that we have with white people, which is a subservient relationship, they wanted to keep knowledge and information away from us. Think about that in relationship to what we say. Because they inherently knew that if you know something, then what the fuck's supposed to happen? You're supposed to do something. If you know something, you're supposed to do something. But once they instill the spirit of fear into the nigger. See, once was a black man, an African man. I'm so reminded of Kunta Kinte, son his name, not the Kinte. When they beat him until he gave up. So once a white man knew that you were a nigger, I love to hear Maurice say nigger. When he say, you get the nigger out of you, and I'm going to get the nigger out of me. See what I'm saying? When the white man knew he had made a nigger. And see, I know all the brothers with knowledge that speak of the ancient African name nigger, and nigger mean God, and nigger mean king, and nigger mean supreme. I understand that. But in the white man world, nigger is a product. So that's what I'm talking about again, knowledge pontification. But I'm going back to what you said, Sister Chris, because it's so relevant. The white man wanted to keep knowledge from you because knowledge in and of itself, and I've been saying this lately, it necessitates that you do something. But see, not you no scared ass nigga. Not you no scared ass nigga, and I know a scared ass nigga when I see one. When I feel one, when I'm in the presence of one, I know them. Villainous are the ones that are willing to do something. They're going to talk about you. They're going to slander your name so that they don't have to do nothing. I'm around niggas like that all the time. So the white man knew that you supposed to do something with these books. If we let them know about their ancestors, Sister Crystal, then they supposed to act like their ancestors. They supposed to stand in honor of their ancestors. They supposed to maintain their culture of their ancestors. But look at these niggas. Look at us. Knowledge ain't power. It's the application of knowledge. And that's all I wanted to do, Sister Crystal, was point out the relevance of what it was that you were saying, because the white man understood that if we let these niggas read, then they supposed to understand something and act accordingly.
Right.
But now they're not even afraid of you reading.
Right.
Because you have proven that you're not going to do shit. Go ahead, sister.
Right. And I was just going to say, you know, even, not even, maybe two generations removed, you know, it was still that mindset. Even though they were in these, quote, school systems, even though the school system was segregated, it was still controlled by white folk, right? So even then, the teachers, the educators would read and teach black, you know, but, you know, because it wasn't controlled by us, they had to, quote, sneak it in. And that's the name of this book is called, that I'm reading is called, Fugitive Pedagogy, and it talks about how we have always, those of us who have wanted to teach from a black perspective have had to teach it in, and it speaks to our inability to recognize that we don't have the power. That's what you're talking about, to do it ourselves, and we got to do that. We have to recognize that we have to build our own. That's way more admirable in my assessment than bragging about being just sneaking it in, you know. There's ways
mm-hmm.
actually building and saying we have IC Academy is much more admirable
mm-hmm.
than we say, yeah, I did this program at the college I work at and da-da-da. So, you know, when we get
yeah.
that mindset
yeah.
as a collective, that's
yeah.
what we
mm-hmm. Well, well, to just add validation to what you're saying, Sister Crystal, not cutting you off, but to build our own validation of our humanity, to build our own is nothing more than a validation of our humanity that we exist. But to not do this is to further navigate the way that we are under the authority of white supremacy is basically to manifest the fact that we indoctrinate, and we're very comfortable with it. We have a caller, Sister Crystal. Thank you so much. Hang in there, because you are Brother Maurice. Brother Maurice has said that he will take it over at 8:30 for me. So hang in there, because he may need your help. Go ahead, caller.
Brother Lumumba. What's up, man?
Yes, sir. I knew you were going to call. I knew you were going to call.
Yeah, I had to get in here, man. Y'all having a hell of a discussion tonight.
Well, you going to increase it. Go ahead on, brother. It's good to hear from you.
No doubt. Good to be heard. But, man, I hear you talk about this subject all the time. I mean, all the time. This is one of the main things I hear you speak on, and I think that's important, because that's where we at with it, man. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I can't say it much better than you, but we've been getting mm-hmm. the knowledge for a long time. And at this point, as Sister Crystal mm-hmm. pointed out, hey, Crystal, she pointed out the fact that, you know, at this point, you got all the information in the world, you know, in the palm of your hand. So information is readily available. It's all out there for you to learn.
Mm-hmm.
Even a lot of stuff mm-hmm. dealing with the government that was here for years is now, you know, public knowledge, you know, for us to get more acquainted with the enemy and know exactly how they operate and all of that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, I think that knowledge, obviously, y'all know this with the ICEA Academy, y'all know that knowledge has its place. And I feel like it's probably just like the stepping stone to get to power, you know, but that's just like you can know all the exercises, you can know all the fundamentals of playing basketball. You can know a lot of different things, but until you actually do it, you know, in my mind, you really
right.
don't know it until you've applied what you've learned. You might have learned some things, but
that's
you
right.
don't know it until you actually apply it. But
mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
from my experience, just I guess on a micro level, for example, like when I was working at Volvo, man, you know, they had that Confederate flag hanging up there, and I did a petition. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, at Volvo, we probably was at least like 90%, if not 95% black. And so I didn't think it would
mm-hmm.
be a problem, you know, getting people to, you know, just sign a petition. But, man, you wouldn't believe the pushback that I got and the way that people tried to dismiss it. You know, because they were scared to do something about it. And how many of them brothers would tell me that I was putting the target on my back and all of this different stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I didn't think about this till long after. And I was just like, man, you know, if you talk to the average brother, he going to say he couldn't have been no slave. But if you exist in today's time and you willing to go through all type of abuse on your job, you sit up there on the aisle and converse amongst the other employees, you know, all your frustrations. But then when you get up in front of them
mm-hmm.
folks, you won't even speak up because you got that fear in you. You'll go off
yes,
on
sir.
The aisle. I'm talking about hollering and everything. Man, these motherfuckers, da, 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 da. But then you get up in front
yeah.
of them in a meeting and you won't even stand
yes,
up and speak your piece. So to me,
right.
like, you know, you said that earlier, man, just that whole fear element, that's one of the main things, that fear and the way that they've gotten us to buy into this materialism and capitalism, you know, those two things I feel like is the biggest, I guess, illusion or the biggest hindrances we have, man, because even like if you look at it, this people's main motivation for today, you know, just to get money and to get stuff and to get certain status and be able to post on Facebook. And like you just talking about, you know, sitting up here talking this knowledge with your Gucci and your Prada and your different, you know, designer stuff on. Yes, like, that's people's main motivation in life. And so how we flip that around, I'm not really sure. But one of the things, man, I'm almost done writing my book. And one of the things I speak on in there, and I think is on point to say that, one of the biggest atrocities I feel like we went through as African people, just studying some of our earlier religions, if you want to call it that, spiritual systems.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
We understood that God was within us. We understood that all that power and all of that, you know, what we expect from God to save us and to heal us and all of that, that lies within. So if you want to say God is going to fix something or whatever, I could rock with it. But we got to understand what we're saying when we say that. Obviously, ain't no sky cracking open. We all know that. So it's going to take us to learn that part, to get that knowledge, to understand that we got that God power.
Yes, sir.
You know,
sir.
And we got to step up to the plate, man. I mean, I asked you if you had seen that Fred Hampton movie the last time, and that movie, it stick out a lot to me just because Brother Fred, he used to speak on that a lot, like, just knowing that he probably was going to get killed, but he didn't care. You know, he felt like, I'm lucky to die for a cause. I'm lucky to die for my people than to just live, you know, for nothing. And, you know, a lot of times, that shit get real heavy, man, just going day for day, knowing that we in such a pressing situation, man, but everybody's so comfortable within it. And I think knowledge is the first part of that, but we got to get to the action some way, somehow, you know. And I don't know what that action is, to be honest with you. I mean, we could build the schools, we could do all of this different stuff, but honestly, I feel like as long as we in that system, whatever progress we make, we really dig in the deeper hole for ourselves. We got to exclude from these people, man. You know?
No doubt.
That's pretty much all I got to add, brother, just that, you know, I'm a soldier, man, and I feel like some people, you know, I don't know if it's cultivated over time or if they just born with it, but you got to have that warrior spirit. I don't know where it comes from, but you got to conjure it up from somewhere to the point where you can, you know, make your peace with it, man. And when it's time to do that, it's time to do it. And that's where I'm at with it, PA. You know, I don't know how that look. I don't know what it, you know what I mean? I don't even know how that look, man, but I'm ready for it. Fuck
it. Sir. Yes, sir. Well, I tell you this, brother Eric. Hey, man, I already know you're a warrior. And see, this is the thing, brother. I wrote down two things pertaining to what it is that you shared with us tonight, because you always bring substance to the show. And I appreciate you, and I try and make sure that I tag you every time to remind you to come on tonight. But you talked about your condition at Volvo. And see, I knew people that worked at Volvo with you, okay? And they corresponded with me. You know what they told me, Brother Eric? They said, you're going to have to come get Brother Eric. I said, what you talking about? I'm gonna come get somebody ask about Brother Eric. That's what's gonna happen. Because I'm not oblivious of that. You gotta take the high road. That is the high road for me. If I can go down with a brother, then that's the high road for me. That's better than getting my ass shot out here for some frivolous cause. But what I'm trying to say, brother, is that they were telling me he got a petition going to take the Confederate flag down. I said, did you sign? Now, he didn't need to calm down. Now, why the fuck he need to calm down? Because these white folks' parents is turned up. And see, they looking at you as a subhuman being. Why they got a Confederate flag up there with 90% of the labor force black. They must say he's a nigger. You understand what I'm saying? Brother Eric is not a nigger. And he going to suffer. And I knew it wouldn't be long until you were gone, brother. And I'm just going to validate what you are, because I know the ancestors work in me. That ain't no doubt or nothing. I know the ancestors work with me. and I'm going to show you exactly who and what you are. It was an African and a slave sitting at the plantation fence. And it was a breach or a hole in the plantation fence where they could get out. The African said, let's leave the plantation. The slave said, let's fix the hole. You feel me, brother?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. So when you were there in Volvo, you were an African, brother. You were a black man that retained his humanity and his dignity, and you seen something that needed to be acted on. But you were surrounded by slaves, or in other words, niggers. And that's my assessment. That's my analogy. And that's my comparative analysis of that. Them two sitting at the
top
of the plantation wall, and it was a breach in the wall, and the African said, let's get free. The slave said, let's fix the hole. So when you say, let's get this motherfucking flag down, and we have to come in here and work every day, we don't need to be reminded, okay? The bold pronunciation of white supremacy hanging over our head, but the nigga, the slave said, let's fix it, bro. Don't fuck with them folks' shit, man. Don't fuck with them shit, bro. We just coming in here to get our money because we some tech slaves, bro, because I want to get out here and floss on these niggas. You understand? I want to get my tech fried.
You must have been a fly on the wall, man, because I'm talking about verbatim. That's what I heard up in there.
I'm just Lumumba, bro. I ain't no fly on the wall.
Already.
I know what's going on. That's all it is, bro. Because guess what, Eli? It's going on in every factory in America. The same shit in every factory in America. But what every factory in America don't have is an Eric Lyle. And they don't supposed to have it because you ain't restricted to them type of confines. And that lead me into what I'm about to say right now, brother. And I appreciate you every time. And Brother Maurice going to take over after this. But what got to happen, Brother Lyle, you keep saying, I don't know what that look like. You might not know what it look like. But you're going to have to employ it to the generation that's coming under you, bro. I was telling somebody the other day, I said, I'd much rather be a warrior in the God than a gardener in a war.
Mm.
I'd much rather be a warrior in the God than a gardener in a war. See, if I'm a warrior in the God, then I'm still ready for battle. But if I'm a gardener in a war, I'm fucked up. So we're going to have to birth a generation, Brother E, that's uncompromised the way that we are. See, we give a damn about that dollar. These next generations going to have to control their own situation. So we have to be the beginning of the teaching to that generation. And we have to show some examples, too. So when you walk away from that job, you show an example to your son, your daughter, to your wife and everybody around you that you provide for, that you won't make it happen without that aid. So I implore that you stay strong, brother. I implore that you finish writing that book, bro. Finish writing that book so that we can push that book, man, and we can get it out there. Finish writing that book, and it can be a source of income for you and your family, bro, because I know you're going to bless us with that little. I thank you every time for calling in, Brother E. We appreciate you. Love you.
Hey, I appreciate you taking my call, man. And, you know, the book title, man, The Nigga Must Die. So I'm coming with it, man. And it's right on subject for what we're talking about.
I love it, brother. Yeah. We're going to push that hard. Brother Maurice, I think that's a good segue for you to take over right there. Brother E. Lyle writing the book, The Nigga Must Die. Take it from here, Brother Maurice.
Yes, sir. All right,
peace out, man.
Commander. Yeah. All right. All right, excellent. Thank you, Brother Commander. And that is an excellent title for that book that our brother's writing, The Nigga Must Die. I love it. I love it. And so to take over from where Commander left off dealing with education, and so for these 30 minutes that I got left, watch, let me know if we get a caller that comes through. We do? Okay, let's go ahead and open their mic up. Caller 4600, your mic is live. Welcome.
Hello to Maurice. This is Pianki. How you doing? I was going to ask a question.
I'm doing pretty good, Pianki. Uh-huh.
What's wrong with the Confederate, the battle flag flying at that plant?
You said what's wrong with it?
Yes. That flag represented part of American history. And you have groups today that participated on that side of that battle. You got Black Americans, ancestors. You got Mexican Americans who fought on the Confederate side. You had several members of the five civilized tribes. You got the Creek. And I believe the Cherokee fought with the Confederate. You had Jews that fought with the Confederates. And they still exist today. You know, we got an area in St. Louis where Red Fox grew up. It's over by Fountain Park. And it has a statue of Martin Luther King in it. But it has become, it has changed. I guess you could use the word gentrified. Whites and others are living in that area now. And they want that statue taken down. So, should it be? They now are the majority in that community. Or should they leave it there and respect it as being a part of American history? The man. I think there's another case in Harlem the same way at Malcolm X Library. We know Harlem has been regentrified, and there's a bust of Malcolm X in there. I think the people want it taken down because they associate him with racism. And get this, in Kansas City, Missouri, Truth Boulevard, T-R-O-S-T, was changed to Martin Luther King Boulevard, but the people later on voted to change it back to Truth, which it is today. You get my picture?
Mm-hmm. I do. And
that was a James Bond movie. You remember this movie, Live and Let Die?
No, sir.
Yeah, it was a James Bond movie. It was titled Live and Let Die. That was a good movie. But at the beginning, people didn't quite catch on with the title exactly what it means. But I think as time went by, they understood what it means. Live and let die. And you know, one thing in closing. Japanese American have to look at that American flag. And in World War II, in all those many battles, the United States put a whooping on them ultimately with the dropping of deployment of the atomic bombs. But even before that, it sunk all the aircraft carriers. We was down to one, the USS Enterprise. And many, many lives was lost on both sides. So that's all I ask, Maurice. I don't see anything wrong with it myself. How you been doing?
I've been doing all right, but to answer your question, me personally, I don't care about the Confederate flag. I think that we've suffered worse under the American flag. So if we're going to tear any flag down, let's go ahead and tear the American flag down. But I understand the position that our brother is coming from about taking the Confederate flag down. I support him in his desire to get that done. My big target would be to remove the American flag because we have suffered longer. We have suffered worse under the American flag than we did under the Confederate flag. But at the end of the day, it's a symbol. And we know that we want more than just symbols. in order to get more than just symbols, that means that we have to take power. We have to take power. So, and that is the road that we are on today. We are on that road to take power. So we don't have to ask. We don't have to petition. We can pass laws and we can make it be, period, point blank. So that way we can know, and everybody else will be able to know, that we're serious about the things we say and we're serious about the things we do. So, you know, that's how I hope that we will come up with that understanding. It is that we have suffered more under the American flag than we have suffered under any flag.
Well, I think people would argue with you on that, Maurice, but I hear what you're saying. But passing laws is not going to give you no power. You get power from production. One thing I heard in the conversation was that about powerful people not teaching you how to take power from them. Guess who's not else going to teach you? Nigerians here in the United States and Africans who have the highest educational attainment, even more so than Asians, and a higher household income, more so than Asians, who have a higher one than whites. They're not going to teach your children how to take power from theirs neither. It's quite evident. So that means if you want your children to know how to utilize power, and it's right there in front of them, but the society itself, parents, family, just not doing what needs to be done totally. Some nowhere near appropriately to the numbers representative in the country. I mean, Asians is disproportionately represented when it comes down to business wealth and also household wealth. Asian women have more business wealth than white women. So it's something that they're doing that needs to be studied. Nigerians, something that they're doing that needs to be studied, Brother Maurice. It's always good to study success, wouldn't you say?
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah. Heck, I study you. Yeah, we got a bad connection.
The thing is this, right? We know what we want, and we want power. The Nigerians don't have power in America. They can't pass laws. We want to pass laws. We want to rule. So that means that we have to get in those positions to rule. And so that means that we have to be politically educated. Now, in order to educate the masses politically, that does not mean, and it cannot mean, making a political speech. What it means is to try relentlessly and passionately to teach the masses that everything depends on them. Everything depends on them. So if our brother wants to take down the Confederate flag, it depends on them. It don't depend on nobody else. It depends on them. If we stagnate, it is our responsibility. We can't blame the cracker. We can't blame nobody else. We have to blame ourselves. And if we go forward, it is also due to them. There is no such thing as a Superman. There is no such thing that one famous man will take responsibility for everything. The Superman that you want to look for, the Superman that you want to wish for is you. It is the people themselves. The magic hands are finally and only in the hands of the people. And in this in which I'm speaking, in the hands of black people, you have suffered from can't see morning to can't see night, doing labor that doesn't benefit yourself, but the labor benefits somebody else. We have to look at the table and just be very frank. that this table doesn't work for us. Why doesn't it work for us? Because we didn't make the table. Now we got to make our own table and sit at that table. We got to understand that the responsibility is on us and nobody else. It is on us and nobody else. I saw a video today from Chicago where some black sisters were twerking on a moving police SUV. Twerking on a moving police SUV. You had two or three on the hood. You had one on the roof. You had police inside driving, sticking their hand out the window. You had black people outside jumping up and down. Everybody got their cell phone. And this is seen as entertainment. This is seen as police relations. This is offensive. Seeing that made me sick. But it shows you how asleep our people are. But you better realize this, because them in their sleeping position or situation, they're not on our side. They're on the side of the enemy. So if you rise up and say, hey, this ain't right, they say, nigga, what's wrong with you? We having a good time. This is fun. It's all good. No, it ain't. And we ought to whoop your ass. We ought to whoop your ass. See, as I said on Sunday, there'll be some, or Monday, there'll be some that will learn from what we teach. But then there's another set that ain't going to do right until we whoop that ass. Until we whoop that ass. Because they're on the side of the enemy. They have to understand. They have to realize that you can't be doing that and expect everything to be okay. Now, some of our people, you get upset when I say, we're going to have to whoop some ass. Because you say, that's violence. But let me tell you, how did you get in the situation that you are in today? That you are no good nigga. How did you get there? How did you get there? You were made that way. Through force. Through violence. So get it in your head. If violence were only a thing of the future, if exploitation and oppression never existed on the earth, perhaps your desires and your display of nonviolence might relieve the conflict, might make it go away because we can talk about it. Now, I understand back in Africa, when we used to go to war with each other, did you know that we didn't fight each other? We went to war through dance. I'm going to say it again. We went to war through dancing. So we had this group dance against that group. And whichever group win, they win the war. And we still have those dance-offs today. But that's how we warred back in the day amongst each other. But this cracker, this enemy, this devil he don't fight to no goddamn dance. He didn't see, he took his military superiority, his ability to kill from long distance. He took that as to say, I'm better than you. Not because he's actually better, but because he developed weapons that can kill long range. This was the beginning of his so-called superiority. You know, when you think about the rocket launcher and you put it in the thing and you put the flip the thing up and you got it on your shoulder. And when I was in the Army, we said, black blast area clear. Because that means we about to fire. And then we fire. You know where they got that idea? From the spear. From the African spear. They said, oh, shit, look at that spear going through the air. We're going to mechanize that. We're going to mechanize that. But this enemy doesn't solve conflict through nonviolence. See, you got to understand, even if your entire group, your entire family, your entire organization, your entire movement, even your nonviolent thoughts is governed by a thousand-year-old oppression. Your passivity serves no other purpose but to put you on the side of your oppressor. Look at Black Lives Matter. They were out there chanting Black Lives Matter, walking, doing this, doing that, the whole damn time serving the oppressor. But they did it in whose name? Your name. Our name. And we sat by and watched. Even though we know them damn bastards was up to no good, we sat by and watched. They got rich, took some money for themselves, and gave the rest of the money, from what I'm understanding, to other homosexual causes. And that money was raised off the dead of black people. They wouldn't have did that to the cracker. Why? Because the cracker knows how to put those things in check. Why you keep letting shit go? Why you keep letting things, oh, we just let it go? When they do it in your name. You got the millionaire Byron Allen suing McDonald's based off of you, based off of what you do. He wants that $1 million, that $1 billion. His company isn't designed to service you, and he said it. He said, my company doesn't even target black people, but the nigga want to get paid because of where black people go and eat. How much of that money is he giving back to you? Not a goddamn dime. But he wants to get the bag based off you. He said, my company is not an African-American company. Don't judge my company because I'm a black man. It's not a black company. We don't target black people. We target the general populace. Then nigga, why you want to get paid from choices that black people make? You can't have it both ways of the street. Where did Byron Allen learn that shit from? He learned it from the white folk. Because it's the same goddamn thing that they did when they said, okay, we'll make black people three-fifths of a human being. The game don't change, it's just the players. It's just the players. If you study history and you look and you see, okay, oh, they did this, they did this, they did, okay, then I can go do the same goddamn thing. And guess what? That's exactly what happens. Black people do the same goddamn thing that white people do to you. Because you're the only people on earth that don't punish your traitors. You're the only people on earth that let these motherfuckers do dastardly deeds in your name. And you don't do nothing about it but cry, complain to each other. But you don't say enough is enough. Enough is enough. Well, hell, I send Byron Allen a message. I told him, nigga, you ain't no better than the cracker who made us 3/5. Because them motherfuckers in the South, they told the crackers in the North, we want to count our niggas. The crackers in the North said, wait a minute. You can't count them. You don't even treat them as human. So you can't count them. Because they wanted to use your bodies, our bodies, as their representation so they can have greater numbers in the Senate and in the House of Representatives. And the Northern cracker said no. Then the Southern cracker said, well, if we can't count our niggas, then we're leaving. There ain't going to be no goddamn union. And the Northern cracker said, well, wait a minute. Let's talk about it. We'll let you count them as 3/5 of a human being for your numbers. Then the Southern cracker said, all right, you got a deal. You got a deal. So you became 3/5 of a human being for counting purposes only. Other than that, your ass was regulated to cattle. So Byron Allen saw that. He said, shit, that shit works. If it worked then, it's going to work now. And that's exactly what he's doing. He's saying 40% of your customer base is black people. So since that's 40% of your customer base, I deserve 40% of your advertising budget. So we're talking about money in the billions. But yet the nigga has the nerve to say, I don't target black people in my advertising. I don't target black people in my television programs. But you want to get paid off of what black people shot. And you want to give nothing in return for what black people do. He don't want to give anything to you. He don't want to give anything to me. He don't want to give anything to us because he want to say, fuck us and take the money and go out with his cracker wife and dance and say, ha, ha, he, he. You got to understand. The more our people understand, the more watchful we become. The more watchful we become, the more that they will come to realize that finally everything depends on them. And their salvation lies in their own cohesion and the true understanding of their interests and in knowing who their enemies are, who their enemies are. The people come to understand that wealth is not a fruit of labor. These crackers did not get rich because of fruit of their labor. But they got wealth as the result of their organized and protected robbery. I'm going to say it again. They got rich. They got wealthy not because of their labor, but because of the results of their organized and protected robbery. You better understand this. You better understand this. It is not knowledge that we lack. What we lack is the courage to understand what we know and to draw the proper conclusions based on what we know. You lack the courage. See, our brother who's doing the thing with the flag, he knows what it represents. It represents slavery, torture, death, oppression. He knows it. So the next thing is, you're seeing it every day. What you going to do about it? What you going to do? He has the courage to draw the proper conclusions. Well, that motherfucker got to come down, because I'll be damned if I'm going to walk and then see this sumbitch flying every single day. That's courage. That's courage. He ain't thinking about what is this going to cost me. He ain't thinking about what these crackers going to say about me, what these niggas going to think about me. He knows what his responsibility is. He knows what his responsibility is. It got to come down. And don't worry, because we're going to keep pushing, and that other one got to come down. The American flag has got to come down. You've suffered worse than the Japanese, than the Chinese, than the Native American. You suffered worse. The number one Holocaust in the world is the African Holocaust, where they took you from where we were and brung us here to where we are and robbed from you every damn thing that made you human. And now you out here, the creation, the making of this enemy. That's why the greatest word to describe America is nigger. Is nigger. This ain't no joke. This ain't no game. This is the real deal. The greatest word to describe America is nigger. Is nigger. And you so lost, you love being the white man's nigger. He made a good nigger out of you through fear. He made a good nigger out of you through fear. And you love it. And you love it. Well, we thank you all for listening. I think I'm probably a little bit over my time, but I thank our commander for allowing me to finish up on what he started. I hope that you've taken something away from this conversation, and I hope that you have the courage to draw the proper conclusions from what you know. I hope you have the courage to be black first. As we always say, you kill the nigga in you, I'm going to kill the nigga in me. And as God will reign supreme, we are black first. Today, tomorrow, and forever. Love you, family. Peace and blessings. Assalamu alaikum. Shalom.